could try to knock you down. There's so many things that could try to get you to want to quit or give up or just say, you know what, this has gotten too hard. I just can't do it anymore. You know what? God give you the ability to be right where you're at today, and you're standing. You're not standing by accident. You're standing by the grace of God. God caused you to be able to stand when everything in the week tried to knock you down. And so that's called grace. Amen? Because the devil hit some of you pretty hard, and you're still standing. So if you need a touch from the Lord this morning, I'm going to ask you to begin to raise your hand. You know, I believe that God will meet you right where you're at. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I welcome you into this service, God, and I tell you to have your way. I speak to addiction in Logan County right now, and I bind it up in the name of Jesus, and I send it right back to hell where it came from. Father in heaven, I ask that you would breathe recovery into the lives of people that are affected by addiction. God, right now, in Jesus' name, for every single person under the sound of my voice right now, God, and they're in need of a healing, God, you are the great physician, and so right now, Father in heaven, we hand over infirmity to you right now in Jesus' name. I call out depression that wants to bind people up and keep them in a constant state of feeling like they're no good. I bind that up right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I lose peace, God, in mental health. God, I thank you right now that we walk in divine health in every way right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I bind up right now any hindrance that would try to be a distraction in this service. Lord, I won't ask you to bless your word, but God, I ask you to bless these people right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to ask you, if you have a cell phone, to turn it on vibrate and to make it to where, if you do have it ring, that it won't disrupt the service. Because I believe that God wants to speak to you today. There will never be another service in this moment in time where we have these exact same people here. If we're here next week, there might be someone missing that wasn't here today. Now, that baby is not bothering me. But there is a nursery, and you don't have to take him in there. But if you want to, you can. But the baby's not bothering me. I've got two of them myself. And we've been fighting with them all weekend. Now, you know that on Sunday, you're probably going to have an argument with your spouse. You're probably going to have an argument with your kids. You're not going to be able to find nothing to wear because you're going to feel fat and you won't like anything that you wear. You're going to have a pile of clothes on the floor. You're going to think, well, I can't find nothing to wear. There'll be lots of things. But right now, I'm going to minister to you in Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 1. Is that Miss Sonia I'm seeing? Hey, you come here and give me a big old hug. I know. I know it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over her right now. God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, I speak right now, God, and I speak deliverance right now in Jesus' name. God, let it flow. Lord, every opposition that she has, God, I thank you that you've taken it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 1. Now, the word is very important to you. And if you've been in one of my services, I always harp on getting into your Bible. How many people brought your word today? Amen. Good, because I want you to read along. It's not good enough if you're just listening to me, because let me tell you something. You need to get into the word, and you need to read it for yourself, because when you get into the word's going to get into you. The word's going to get into you. And you can sit under preaching your whole life, and that's not going to mean that you're going to be saved and go to heaven. You have to live out the sermon. Amen? You have to live out the sermon. The sermon doesn't stop at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. The sermon is just beginning, because it's up to you to live it out. And you do that day by day, day by day. And so I'm going to encourage you to get into your word And what I'm going to teach you today, you know, we're only going to go to one place this morning, and we're only going to read 8 verses. And I believe that God will open up our understanding when we're faithful to get into His Word. And you can hang on every single word that's in the Bible. The Word of God says that man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds or comes out of the mouth of God. Now, what does that mean? You better know the Word. You better know the Word, and you better get it into you. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, here is the prophet Isaiah, and he has an encounter with God. And what I believe that most people need today is a constant, continual encounter with God. You know, if you're married, you're not seeing your spouse most of the time once every 6 months and be like, hey, how are you doing? No, you're with that person every day, most of the time. And it says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And I'm going to stop right there. Here's Isaiah, and he's saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw God. I saw Him. I saw the Lord. I want to encourage you today to stop seeing everything else. Some of you, you're seeing the catastrophe, the chaos, the infirmity, the irritation, the coworker that you can't stand, the boss that's always mean to you. We're seeing everything except for God and who God is. And because of that, we're downbeaten. We always feel negative about ourselves. We have a bad attitude because we're always feeling less than, or we're always feeling like we're not being done right. I encourage you today to see God, to see Him. And if you can't see Him, begin to pray and say, God, help me to see You today. Help me to see You today, because God has something for you inside of each and every single day. That's why in the Word it says His mercies are new every morning. So it says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, and He was high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Just the train of the robe that God had on filled the entire temple. Now, I want to do a little history lesson with you, and you won't see me doing this very often, but I do feel like it is relevant today, because you need to know the relevancy. Why is it relevant to us today that His train filled the temple? How many of you ever had a train on your wedding dress? Those were the most annoying things ever, because you got this thing following you around and it's connected to you. If you got to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to do something. You got to have somebody carry it. It's just having that train. But the train was a piece of His robe, and the whole piece of that robe filled the temple. Now, I'm going to talk to you just for a moment about the robe and the train. If a king had a robe with a long train, it symbolized strength and security. So we see here in the Word of God where it says that just His train filled the temple. That train in history represents strength and security. How many of you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Just the train of the living God wants to fill your temple with what? Strength and security, which are two things that most people lack. In today's society, a lot of people are up and down, constant. One day you feel like life is going to be okay. The next day you feel like nothing is going to be okay. See, that's a mountain and just a roller coaster of emotions. And see, what God wants to do is level you out. How does he do that? Filling up every part of you with strength and security. So to read on, it says that if a king had a robe with a long train, that it symbolized strength and security. When the king of one country conquered the king of another country, the conquering king would have a part of that robe sewn onto his robe. And over the course of that king's lifetime, the robe would get bigger and bigger. Now, how does that apply to you today? God is here to conquer every enemy that you face. Every enemy that you have has a name. The Word of God says that we serve a God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the name above every single name. Your enemy may be depression. Your enemy may be anxiety. Your enemy may be cancer. Your enemy may be high blood pressure. Your enemy may be your bad attitude. Your enemy may be fear. Your enemy may be infirmity. But see, one thing that you know for sure is every enemy that you have, it has a name. It has a name. And so when we pray prayers, if you can be as specific as you can in your prayers, that's going to help you. That's going to help you in your prayer life. Don't just say, God, give me a husband. God, give me a wife. You may get a deadbeat. No. God, please give me a saved spouse, one that has a J-O-B and can afford to take me out to dinner. And I don't want to eat sloppy joes. Lord, I like steak. Get me one that can afford the steak. Lord, I'm not going to ask you just for any old job. Because, Lord, I don't want any old job. God, I want a job where it's not going to break my body down for the next 30 years and then I'm going to be busted up. See, you better start thinking about what you really want out of life because you're doing this one time. You're living life and you're living life one time. You're not coming back as a butterfly or a caterpillar or a dog or a cat. Now, if I've just busted your bubble, you're going to be really busted up within 45 minutes because I'm going to bring us to reality. But you're doing it one time. And so because you're living this life one time, you need to think about what you want out of your life, and you need to begin to pray. But I'm telling you, when you come against obstacles, that those obstacles and those problems, they all have a name. They all have a name. One of my biggest enemies is caring too much about what other people think. Can you just call out your problems? One of my problems is caring way too much about what other people think. I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it said, girl, you better walk in there like God sent you. Look here. Every one of your problems, it has a name. But if you serve God, he is the name above every single name. And at the name of Jesus, every single knee is going to bow down. Every single tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. So if we know that that's in the end, that that's what's going to happen, we should be doing that here on earth. When's the last time you just got down on your knees and you said, God, I have a problem. God, I have a problem. And the problem is, and you just named them out. So it says here, that I saw the Lord. I'm going to encourage you today to see God, to see him. Stop looking to the left. Stop looking to the right. Stop looking at all your problems. And realize that just the train of the robe of God filled the temple. Filled it up with what? Strength, security. Let's read on. Verse 2. Above him were seraphs. Now, When you are reading the Word of God, here's what I will say, and I've read it all my life. Sometimes you will come across things that you don't know what the heck they are. Sometimes you will have to read something two or three times. But there's times where when you're reading the Bible, you may be confused or you may not understand what something is. And when you come to a place or a word that you don't understand what it is or you don't know what it is, you got a smartphone, more than likely. You need to Google up what that is, because the more that you can understand about the Word of God, the better off that you're going to be. So last night I'm sitting here going, okay, my Bible says it's a seraph. Here it says it's a seraphim, but in other words, it's one of the highest ranking angels that there is. Okay? So it says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling out to one another. So here's Isaiah. He realizes that he's in the presence of God, and then he begins to see the angels, and he notices that the angels are flying around and they're saying things to each other. What are they saying? Well, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I'm going to say it again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. When is the last time that you just magnified God and you worshiped him and you just told him how holy that he was? Told him how holy that he had been in your life? You know, the word says, be holy as I am holy. He gives you a point of reference and he says, the holiness that you see on me, be that way. Be that way. You know, there's Christians, they absolutely cannot turn the other cheek. They don't got it in them. Let's get down to where we all live. That's exciting to me. I don't want to preach about boring stuff. I want to preach about what we all actually deal with. I said there's people, and they absolutely don't got it up in them to turn the other cheek. Look here, I got one better for you than that. I'm a pastor, and some days I can't do that. Bobby, there's some days where I'm absolutely going to win the argument and I'm dead wrong, but I'm still going to win it. Okay? We're going to preach where we live, because if we don't, we're going to all walk out of here and there's not going to be a change in us. Well, if there's not a change in us, what are we doing? When is the last time you just got on your knees and you said, God, you're holy, so Lord, help me to be holy. God, I got a problem, and the problem is named this, this, and this. Lord, help me with that. Lord, I got a secret sin, and that secret sin is this right here. God, help me and deliver me from that. See, when is the last time you just got on your knees and you asked for some deliverance? See, we stay bound up. You have not because you ask not. And there's Christians, and there's things that you should be asking for, because, see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you ain't asking God for it, it must not be that important to you. But I'm asking you today, what do you want out of your life? What do you want out of your life, and how do you want to live, and how do you want to raise your children? How do you want to raise those kids? You're either raising them for God or you're raising them for the devil. Now, that's hard preaching, but that is the reality of it. The Word of God says, train your child up in the way that they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. You want to give yourself a promise out of the Word of God, you do what the Word of God says, and you train them up, and you train them upright. Are you going to feel defeated a lot of times with your kids? Probably. Probably. Why? Because they just like you. How many of you got a kid, and they're a lot like you, and you're going, oh, my gosh. A while back, I was pulling out of Sonic. I know. It's scary, isn't it? I was pulling out of Sonic, and I just began to cry. Carson was being so rude and so mean that I just started crying. I had just had all of it that I could literally have of it. And my first thought that popped in my pea brain was this right here. I need to repent to my parents because I used to do this stuff to them. And I had never realized what a brat I was till I was dealing with my own brat. But see, God will give you one just like you to show you how you was. Why? So we can correct that generational thing that's going on up in them. So we need to understand that God's holy. We need to worship Him. The Word of God says worship Him in spirit and worship Him in truth. Worship Him in spirit and worship Him in truth. A couple weeks ago, I was praying and I was asking God, Lord, am I missing it anywhere as a pastor? Am I missing it anywhere? One of the prayers that I pray at night sometimes is, Lord, help me to be the very best pastor that I can be. And look here, there's always room for improvement. I don't care what you do for a living. If you are the top of whatever it is that you are, let me tell you something. You can improve. And if you'll ask God to make you better, to make you holier, to make you nicer, to make you more understanding, to make you more compassionate, He'll do that. But in my prayer, He said, Kelly, there's four areas where you've been light on, and because you've been light, you're not seeing some things in the lives of your folks that you want to see. And here's what they were: tithes and offerings, worship, connection in the church, and serving. So I'm going to spend messages talking about these things. Why? Because I want to see you living your very best life, and you can't do that if you won't live the full Word of God, if you won't live it out. So we're talking today, one of the biggest forms of worship that you can offer God is surrender. Surrender. What? Your will. Your will. One of the last things that Jesus said on the cross is, Father, Your will be done. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Your will. When is the last time that you just said, God, have Your will done? See, we pray for things and we get mad at God because we don't see an answer. You need to make sure you're praying according to the will of God. You can't say, God, give me Sally Sue's husband. He seems nicer than mine. He's not going to answer that prayer. God, give me a truck like Johnny over here, over there. Well, you know what? You may not be able to handle one of them big trucks. You might knock out the whole Sonic when you pull in. God ain't going to give you that thing if you ain't got the skill for one of them. Glory to God. I say that because one time I bought a vehicle and it was way too big for me, and that's the first thing I did is whack somebody right in Sonic. Scarred me for a long time from going there. And Sonic is like my favorite place. I go there every day, sometimes multiple times in a day. It just depends on how bad the day is. If I have a bad day, we're going to hit that place like three or four times. If I'm having an okay, one to two. So the angels were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of His glory. His glory, not the glory of who's the president, not the glory of the next new drug that's going to make everybody skinny, not the glory of anything else but His glory, His glory, His glory. One of the biggest forms of worship that you can give God is an absolute surrender of your life. How do we do that? Knowing who you are and who He is. How many of you know you don't got it all together? How many of you know that there's some problems in your life that you're going to have to work out? Amen. Good. We're all on the same page. See, one of the beautiful things is if you'll be in the church that God called you to and that God plants you in, you're going to sit by people that aren't going to judge you, but they're going to love you. That's very important. And so, verse 4, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So here is Isaiah. He sees God. He sees the train that filled the temple. He sees the angels crying out to each other, holy, holy, holy. And then at the sound of the angels' voices, the doorpost and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Guess what? You've got a voice. You've got a voice. I always know how to pray for people when I get on Facebook. Because people will put it all out there. But you have a voice, and God gave you a voice to use it for worship for Him. You are worshiping or you are defeating, one or the two. You can worship God with everything that you do. Or you can defy God with everything that you do. You can worship God with everything that you do. At the sound of their voices, see, at the sound of your voice, things can happen. Why do I say that? Because in the book of Genesis, God said, I've given you authority. I've given you dominion. Now go. Go and have dominion. Jesus said, these things that you've seen me do, you will do greater. Now, if God spoke the world into existence, but then he also told you that the things that you saw him do, you will do greater. Well, guess what I'm telling you today? You've got some work to do. And when you get to that place in your life where you realize who you are in Jesus, you have a huge responsibility. And your responsibility is this. Begin to worship God with everything that you do, with all that you have. How many of you, look here, sometimes when I'm looking on the parking lot, I'm so proud of you because lots of you got new vehicles. How many of you have gotten a new vehicle within the past 5 years? Okay, guess what? Have you dedicated your vehicle to God? The whole church is quiet. Let's start that again. Have you dedicated your vehicle to God? Well, Pastor, I don't even know what that means. Well, let me tell you what it means. I'm not going to have a bunch of cussing and rap and all this stuff. Now, am I saying that rap's bad? But no, let me tell you something. I done offended the whole congregation. I done talked about the rap music, Brother Charles. I'm going to explain myself because people get offended at everything that I say and everything that I do. And God literally forbid if I got to correct somebody because they done something, then I'm the real devil. Let me just follow up with what I said. Whatever you are going to put up into your spirit, that is what is going to come out. Whatever is inside of you, that is what's going to come out. There was a time, and I was listening to a song, and it was a Christian song. And I was singing, got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jean, trying to fit it all together, blah, 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 Francesca Battistelli. And God said, Kelly, do you want a couple dents in your fender? I said, my God, no, I don't. Amen. Well, then stop singing it. I used to listen to country music all the time. Now, am I saying that country music's the devil? No. But I can't preach it out of your life because you'll get offended and leave. But I can preach it out of my life and teach you. There was a time where I listened to country music. And, hey, there's times where I'm getting my hair done by my hairdresser and she's listening to it, and I love it. But I just don't personally listen to it all day long in my car Because here is what I noticed about myself. I'd have a perfectly fine day. I'd get in the car to go to work. I'd be listening to how the dog killed the cat, the neighbor this and that, and I'd get out of work within 30 minutes, and I'd be depressed, and I would think, why am I so depressed today? Well, because you just put the depressing lyrics all up in your spirit, and the dog done died, the woman died, she left. You know, I got friends in low places. God forbid I have them in high places. I mean, I don't know. You know, the thunder rolls, and so is my attitude. Well, no wonder you get out of the car and act like the devil, because you put it up in you. Now, if you're offended right now, you just hold on, because I'm going to get you some more in the next 30 minutes. I've had about 2 weeks where I've just offended some folks, and they've let me know it. And let me tell you something. If you think that it's great for me to be the one to have to point things out, it's not. It's one of the hardest things that a pastor has to do. But I'll tell you this. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. We're going to have to preach the truth. It's important for you to lift up your voice. I'll never forget the first year I pastored, it was in a pandemic. And I got home on a Sunday morning. And somebody was sitting right where you're sitting, Moni. When things happen up in this church, I take a mental note of where people are sitting when, and certain events take place in my mind, and they're ingrained in my mind forever. But they were sitting right where Moni was sitting. And, you know, we were all praising and worshiping. And I got home, and this person texted me, and they were very offended. How many of you know offense will get you right up out of where you're supposed to be? Every time. Every time. You keep letting the devil get you offended, you're going to be out in left field. And when you get up out in left field, that's how the devil gets you and gets you into a lifestyle that's not good. Don't get mad at your pastor for being offensive. The Word of God is offensive because it tells you that you're wrong a lot. But they were sitting right where Moni is. And they messaged me after church. Said, Pastor Kelly, I am so offended by you. Do you know how hard it was to preach in a pandemic and to deal with a pandemic? That's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life. And I said, well, Sally Sue, what have I done to offend you? Because, see, my conscience is clear when it concerns you, but if you'll tell me, I'll repent for it. Guess what it was? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Somebody else had their nose not in their mask, infecting all of us. And that was my fault. I said, I know I said that I was going to repent for whatever you said, but I'm not repenting for that, and you need to repent. Because, see, during praise and worship, you shouldn't be worried about what Sally Sue is doing. Amen. You shouldn't be worried about if their nostrils in their mask or not in their mask. But see, you are worried because you don't have worship up inside of you, coming up out of you. When we get up here and we're in praise and worship, you shouldn't be looking around, wondering if they're going to sing your favorite song, griping in your head about this or that. You should just say, God, help me to worship. Help me to stop worrying about it, about the fan. The fan's blowing my hair, messing my hair up. One of the biggest compliments, if somebody said, compliment your dad. One of the biggest compliments that I could give Dad is this right here. He owned it. And he still does to this day. Still does to this day. It didn't ever matter, angel, what kind of day he had, and he had a lot of rotten days as the main pastor. He got up here like God sent him, and he preached past all the criticism, past all the judgment, past not feeling well, past the depression, the bad mood, the kids getting on his nerves, past that. Can you worship God past everything that's going on up in your life? Can you? Can you do that? Can you do it? I remember about 5 years ago, I was sitting on a Sunday morning right where Eli and Zach are sitting. I was telling God how brokenhearted that I was. And I told him I don't feel fit to pastor. I don't feel like I have anything that I can give because I feel broken. And God said, well, then just preach out of the brokenness. There's other people that are broken too. And Kelly, if you'll go and preach to mine, I'll go to yours. If you'll preach to mine, I'll go to yours. I'll go to your family that you're concerned about right now. See, worship some days is going to take everything that you got. Why? Because life gets heavy and it gets real. You ever notice how when you come in and we start praising, worshiping, you've had such a bad day, some days just even lifting up your hands or clapping feels like an impossible task. God knows that. That's when you give him the sacrifice of praise that the Word of God talks about. Your feelings, the majority of the time, they are not facts. Your feelings, the majority of the time, are not facts. So you can't go off of every feeling that you have. Because your feelings, a lot of times, they're not even accurate. And a lot of what you worry about never even happens. But if the devil can keep you wrapped up in your feelings and wrapped up in your fears, you'll never do anything for God or anybody else. Where does it start? Worship. 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 I love when Kayla sings the song and some of the words are my melody. What does it say, Kayla? My weapon is a melody. Why does the devil always try to steal your melody? That's what you got to ask him. Worship. Worship. For those of you looking at the clock, we got about 20 more minutes. They're like, God, I wish the pastor would get off of this. Guess what? We on it for the next 20 minutes. Let's go on. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And verse 5, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. What was he saying? I'm not good enough to even be in God's presence. Oh, woe to me. You know what he said to himself? Woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not good enough to be in his presence. Look here. God's not asking for you to be good enough. He's not asking you to wear the right thing to church so you can come through the doors. Amen. Woe to me, I am ruined. See, what we actually see here is just the presence of God here showed Isaiah what he really was. And isn't it amazing that just God's presence shines a light on who you really are? a lot of Christians won't slow down to even get in his presence. Why? Because that affects our Netflix binge. Super Bowl. Survivor. Eating bonbons. Chips. Choose to be in his presence. Practice being in his presence. Isaiah recognized who he was and what he was because out of his heart he said it. He said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." It's amazing how the presence of God will brush away every single thing so you can see who you really are. Why? Because, see, God wants to continually over your life change you from the inside out. That can't be done when you're in denial. That can't be done when you're in a state of denial all the time. We live in an I'm okay, you're okay world, when the truth of the matter is nobody is okay.
Amen. That's the truth, Pastor.
And people go to church and then they feel bad when they leave church because they feel like, well, everybody there was perfect except for me. I better go to the next church and see if they're all perfect down there. Well, let me tell you something. What I've learned in life is to never wish that you were anybody but who you are. Don't look at other people and start comparing yourself, because every time you do that, you lose. You're going to always find somebody that you think is better, better mom, better dad, better teacher, better wife, better husband, better everything. You'll always find somebody that you think is better than you. Get in his presence and find out who you are. Find out who you are. I live out on the lake now. How many of y'all like to be out on the water? I never knew I liked that. And I like fishing, but I only really like it with a bobber. Because when I see that thing go down, that is a thrill. I like to see it. And even if I don't catch the thing that made it go down, I'm still happy. But I like to see that bobber go down. And about 95% of the time when we get on the boat and we go on the water, Jill, if I'll get myself just super still and I'll get off my phone, it's like the absolute presence of God just kind of comes all around me. And I'm able to just be. And me and God have had a lot of talks out there. I know that there's been a lot of times God said, you know what, Kelly, what you're concerned about is really not as bad as what you're making it out to be. One of the things that the presence of God does is it puts you into reality about what you're going through. And sometimes what you're going through, you've magnified it so much that it's bigger than what it actually it's bigger than what you've actually going through. And we've made it bigger. And see, when we worship God, we make God bigger. Bigger than the problem, bigger than the family issue, bigger than the job issue, bigger than the financial issue. You know, when you choose to worship God, God will meet you right where you're at, right in the problem. Right in the problem. Let's move on. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. I'm going to read that one more time, and I want you to read it with me. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Verse 7. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips." Whose lips? His lips. The lips that he had just told God they were unclean. There was an angel. He took a coal with the tongs from the altar, and he flew down, and he touched Isaiah's lips with the coal. So when Isaiah began to tell God, "Lord, I'm not worthy. God, I have unclean lips. I'm not perfect. I've got problems," he wasn't met with a bunch of judgment. God didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to send you right to hell. You're bad." What was he met with? Taking that guilt up off of him. Let's read it. "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." See, the moment that he gets in the presence of God, he begins to see who he is, and he begins to tell God, "Lord, I'm not real good." And the angel comes, touches those lips, and say, "Your guilt is gone." If there's one thing that I think that Christians live with, and it's very sad, is guilt. Guilt. How many of you got something that it don't matter what, you have a tendency to feel guilty about something? Me too. Me too. Sometimes it don't seem like it. Nothing I do, Tanya, will ever get that guilt gone. Let's preach where we live. Let's read that verse one more time. "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." I want to speak to that person. If you raise your hand, I want to speak to you for a moment about guilt. Guilt will eat you up from the inside out. When you think that you're making a turn in your life, like you've gotten past it and you have a bad day, the devil will bring it right back up to your memory and say, "Well, remember when you did that," or "Remember when that happened." And he'll bring that guilt of what you did. He'll bring the guilt of what happened all right back to you, and it'll bring you right back to that spot where you were a long time ago that you've worked hard to not be. It'll bring you right back, and it'll take you backwards. God would like people to walk out of here today with the guilt gone. Amen. Thank you. With the guilt gone. Thank you. Sometimes it's the guilt that stands right in there between us and God. Amen. A few weeks ago, Brother Mike brought one of his sons up, and he said, "I need prayer for my son." And he was right here, and Dad was praying, and he said, "I just feel like there's something in between us." If you've got guilt up in between you and God and you feel guilty about something, let me tell you something. You don't have to walk out of there here feeling that still today. But you got to commit to letting the guilt go. See, the devil wants you to keep that guilt, because see, that guilt will mess with you all your life. One of the things that I've searched upon many, many times is, God, do you really, truly forgive? Sometimes people feel like they've done something so awful that they can never be forgiven for it. And I want to tell you today, God really does forgive. Yep. Amen, he does. There isn't anything that you've done that he can't forgive, that he won't forgive. A lot of people feel guilty over things that they did not even control. See, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Here's God. When Isaiah gets in his presence, what happened? The guilt was taken. The sin was atoned for. He got in his presence. He was able to see who he was. God showed up. And then God asks him, whom shall I send? In another translation, it says that God says, is there anyone that I can send? Is there anyone I can send? One of the ways that you can worship God is being available to God. Being available to Him. One of the things that I have tried to differentiate between in my life, Angel, is this right here. I could spend my days doing good deeds, but those won't get me into heaven. Is there anyone that I can send? Surrender. Surrender. Stop brushing up against him with where he wants to take you in your life and just say, God, I'm going to worship you right now. And one of the ways that I'm going to worship you is I'm going to surrender. So God, here I am right here. Right here. A lot of people tell God, well, Lord, when I get it all together, I'll do that for you. When I got my kids raised, I'll do this. When I get out of debt, I'll do this. Don't put off doing the right thing. And don't put off worshiping him. You need to worship him with everything you got. And one of the biggest ways you worship him is with surrender. Just, God, I'm right here. Be somebody that he can send. Be somebody that he can send. I remember in the pandemic, there was these regulations. There were regulations upon regulations upon regulations. And funerals were limited to so many people for a little bit. I think it was like 10. There was people in nursing homes that they couldn't be around their loved ones. The loved ones couldn't come in. And I remember on a Sunday night, there was a family that had come early in the morning and they had set up a bench outside of their mother's nursing home room and they were watching her die. And they got on Facebook and they said, will not one pastor in this town go down there and pray with them? That comment was made early in the day. And at night still, will not one pastor in this town go? Well, I had never seen it. And when I came across it, it was like 9 o'clock. And I scrolled upon that, and I said, has nobody come down there yet? No, they haven't. I said, I'm on my way. I didn't wait, Bobby. I didn't change myself. I was in my pajamas. I went right then. Why? Because that's when I was needed. Right then. See, can God send you out? Can he send you out? When I stepped out of the car, Jill, they just started weeping. And she said, oh my gosh, is that Brother Angelo's baby? I said, yes, it is. He said, let me bring you over here to Mama. I've never been through something like this in my life. And they let me sit down on a bench as we watched their mama take her last breath. And they could not be with their loved one. And she died. I was there when she did. And they said, you know what? You were the only pastor that would come down here. Sometimes just your presence will make a lifetime of difference in somebody else's life. Can God send you? Will you let Him? Will you let Him send you? Or are you too busy? Are you too depressed? Are you too wrapped up in your own life? Do you got too many problems and the devil's done told you you can't be used because you've got too many issues? Look here, you need to be done with that. You can always do something to help somebody else. Is there anyone I can send? And here was what he said. And who will go for us? In another translation it says, will someone speak for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. I ministered to you today on worship. And I hope that you will make the decision to live out the sermon. But I want to pray today over that person that raised your hand and said, you know what? There's some guilt that I feel. There's some guilt that I feel. If that's you in here today, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to come around and touch each person because I serve a God that He'll come around and He'll touch each one of you. He'll meet you right where you're at in your life. See, there's things that happen in our life. Some of them are in our control and some of them are out of our control. But see, the devil will use them to make us feel guilty and to bring us back to that place that we don't want to be anymore, that person that we don't want to be anymore. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Why? Surrender. I want you to picture right now that thing that you feel guilty about. That moment in your life where something happened and you feel guilt over that. The situation that every time you have a bad day, you go right back to that thing. Picture that right now in your mind. Y'all put your hand right now over your heart and pray with me. Lord, right now, I release that guilt to you. Father God, I give the whole thing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are having service this evening. We are very excited to see you at 5:30 p.m. We do have food that we're giving out. It is ready. So if you will make your way through that door, each family, there's white.